Welcome to Urban Forum Northwest with Eddie Ryan going solo today. Hayward will not be in today, but he will be back next Thursday. And we have a number of people we're going to talk with today. As you know, on January 20th, 2020, is the national holiday honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We'll be talking to a number of people about that who are on the Seattle Martin Luther King Jr. Organizing Coalition, formerly known as the Seattle King County Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee. My first guest is Nichelle Alderson from Infinitely Well, from Sisters Rock the Arts. And we talk about Sisters Rock the Arts first. Every Thursday night at Rumba Notes Lounge, Nichelle Alderson and LaTanya will gladly greet you to hear some of the best live music in town. And tonight, the host will be Sheila Kay. Is that right, Nichelle?
That's right.
All right, now.
Come on down. Get your mood right.
And you were spreading your wings from coast to coast. I know that you are the owner of, is it Infinitely Well?
That's right.
And you have some classes coming up to teach people on how to eat to live. And you're also going to be going to the other side, to the East Coast, taking the mood food. So let's start with the classes first and talk about the trip a second.
Yeah, well, 2020 has given us an opportunity to really change our lives and the way that we're loving and living with each other. So this first class of 2020 begins February 1st, and I'm really focused on bringing in couples, black couples specifically, who are ready to make some lifestyle changes, get sugar and processed foods out of their homes, out of their houses, their temples, their body temples, and learn to live with and love themselves a lot better. And to love the ones that they are with a little differently this year. It's a 5-week program. It meets Saturdays at 5 p.m. virtually on Zoom. So you can be anywhere in the world and you can join in. You don't have to be a couple. You can be besties, best friends, you know, a family member, your cousin, whoever it is. But I really want to bring in pairs of people who want to do some things differently this year. Individuals are welcome also.
And the information is where?
You can get that all on my website, liveinfinitelywell.com.
Okay, now you know you got a unique way of spelling it, so why don't you spell out infinitely well for our listeners?
Yeah, I'll spell it out slow. But the website is liveinfinitelywell.com, liveinfinitelywell.com.
Okay.
You can just check under the services. Have right in there and get into the restart classes. This class is called Restart.
And the good thing about this is your company that you own 100%. This is not a franchise or anything, right?
I own Infinitely Well. Restart is a program that I'm licensed to teach as a holistic nutritional practitioner. It's a program that was designed by a fellow NCP like myself who took what we learned in our training and truncated it down into this 5-week program that really helps people understand how their body works, from digestion and blood sugar regulation and fatty acids, the whole gamut of how your body works and how nutrients are impacting or affecting your energy, your mood, your sleep, all of that. We can see and watch things change as we move together through this program.
And once again, you gave us a website. Where are the classes held?
So that's, I do them online on the Zoom platform. It's live, so we're all going to be there at the same time learning together live, but it's online, so you can be anywhere on your from your phone or your computer, anywhere in the world that you have internet connection.
And that makes it real easy. So, that's a good marketing tool there. Now, the other thing is that you're going to be leaving shortly to go back to Atlanta, Georgia, with the mood food pop-up, is that what you call it?
Yeah, the mood food pop-up will be popping up in Atlanta again next week, actually, on the 19th. I'll be doing a pop-up there, letting people scent sample and get a taste of what these mood foods are doing for those of us up here in the Pacific Northwest who've already been loving on them. They are essential oil blends that I've created to help shift the mood for things like stress and anxiety, sadness, sleep issues, all of that. So I'm going to be taking some samples down there and really spreading the love a little bit with these products that I have.
And how long have you also popped up in a few other locations in around the Seattle area? Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I love doing pop-ups because it gives me a chance to get out of the office and see people that I might not have seen otherwise. But I do a lot of pop-ups at the station that they are really supportive to small business owners like myself and provide a space for me to set up shop and just, you know, patient be there with their patrons. And I also have pop-ups at the Cafe Red, which is also supportive of our small business owners. Down there on Martin Luther King and Othello, one of my favorite coffee shops. And I also have products there at the Pike Place Market, the Venture Store. So I pop up there sometimes to do demos. And really, anybody that's moving and shaking, you know, I carry stuff with me, so I pop up all over the place.
That's great. So in the future, you have to let us know when you're popping up so we can share that with our listeners and they can locate where you are and come try your cuisine and see if they can start getting healthy by eating your recommendations.
Yeah. You can subscribe on my website. There's a Get and Stay Connected tab up there on the website, and I'll always let you know where I'm moving about.
Well, I'll tell you what, because if somebody might have joined the program late or they got a little bit more interested as we were having our conversation, why don't you give out the website and your contact information again?
Okay. Website is liveinfinitelywell.com. And phone number, you can call me directly at 206-596-5980.
Okay. And if they go up to Rumba Notes tonight, they can watch Sheila Kay host. And will you and LaTanya be in the crowd tonight?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yes. We'll be there. You know, that's part of living infinitely well, in my opinion, is having fun and being in the community and, you know, doing positive things around positive people. So I hope to see everybody out there on Thursday night.
Okay. Nichelle Allison, thank you very much for your time and thank you for your work getting people healthy and making them understand how their body should function. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Eddie Rye. I appreciate all that you do for the community.
All right, now. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. My next guest is Bob Barnes, one of the co-founders back in 1983 or before even. I think it actually was 82, Bob, or 81. But anyway, we're real old, but we're still here. But Bob Barnes, one of the co-founders of the Seattle Martin Luther King Holiday Celebration Committee, and he is now co-chair of the Logistics Committee for the Seattle Martin Luther King Organizing Coalition, and sponsored a big event on the 20th. And Bob is responsible for not only coordinating the march, but also all the sound systems in Garfield, outside, as well as the outside rally that we'll be having downtown. So, Bob Barnes, welcome to Urban Forum Northwest again, and share with our listeners the fruits of your labor.
There you go. Yeah, thank you, and I'm glad to be part of it. And I was trying to figure out when this was, and all I can think of is sometime last century when we started doing this, right? Does that date us or what?
Yeah, you know, I said it was 83, but actually it was before 83 because we had the first march in January 15th, 83, which was on a Saturday. So, yes, we are prehistoric. Hello?
I think we may have lost it.
I can barely hear you, Bob.
Your answer.
Okay, I'll tell you what, let us try to call you back again and maybe hear some Martin Luther King. I can do a couple of announcements. Let's try to get Bob back. And in the meantime, I want to let people know on the front page of the Seattle Medium today, there is a picture about the community mourning the loss of Deacon Joseph Mason. And he was a stellar guy, a member of the Mount Zion Brotherhood Chorus. I was praying that I would get a chance to hear him sing one more solo at Mount Zion, but he's singing with the Angels right now. I got to do some work with Joe with Tyree Scott. I wasn't a construction worker, but I was an advocate for equality for black folks in the building trades industry. So Joe's service will be on the January 19th at 11 o'clock a.m. At Mount Zion Baptist Church. And want to extend my family, the Rye family's condolence to Don Mason and her family. And I know that Joe Mason's soul is resting in peace. He was a man of God and a stellar gentleman. So I just want to make sure that I gave him a shout out because he was down for the people. Now we got Bob Barnes back. Bob, you there?
I am back.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to second what you just said about Brother Mason. Yeah. So I'm kind of in a weird telephone pocket here, so we may lose each other again. I'm helping out.
I know you're doing a demonstration somewhere, right?
Well, I'm helping out with contract negotiations at CIU 1199 doing AV support, so they've got me sequestered at the Westin.
Yeah, so I know that it's about getting justice. You're with the right people, so you've
right
been
a
consistent as long as I've been knowing you. So, Bob, why don't you just talk a little bit about the logistics committee, about the march, and where we're going to be going, and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, logistics. I mean, that's pretty standard. We're having as a rally. We're having workshops in the morning, the rally at the gym, and then a march. We're going to be making three different, I don't want to say stops, but we'll be going by three different sites. The unfortunately new youth jail, to let folks know that we still do not want a youth jail. We don't want to lock kids up. We're also going to go by Swedish First Hill Hospital, where we're not sure what's going on because we are in the middle of negotiations right now, but there will either be a kind of a victory shout out that we got us a good contract, or a we're about to go on strike, come support us, shout out. And that's up at on Jefferson and I think it's 17th, the Cherry Hill Hospital. And then we're going to be swinging by the Seattle Police Headquarters downtown to highlight our displeasure with the police continuing to beat up young black women. I mean, anybody, but there's been a real outbreak of young black women being beaten by the cops. And we don't find that at all acceptable, so we want to highlight that. And then we'll be heading down to City Hall Park for the closing rally. So it's going to be a great day. We expect several thousand people there, and it's going to be awesome.
And so the route of the march this year will not be going, like, through Capitol Hill. It'll be going... so when you leave, will it go down Yesler to?
No, we'll be going straight down Jefferson, right out from. From high school, right down where at that intersection where Ezel's is.
23rd and Jefferson.
And that's where. Yeah, then that's where Swedish, Cherry Hill is, and then we'll turn south on 14th and loop around the Juvie, then go up to. Think back to Jefferson, and then end up going down James, where we'll head downtown, and then turn left on 5th, where we'll be highlighting the city with the police and their bad behavior, and then the City Hall Park is just about a block from there on 4th Avenue, between 4th and 3rd.
Okay, so that sounds like a plan. Now,
At
8:30, when we're going to have Rolita Batista on next, she's with the Opportunity Fair. That starts at 8:30, and give those folks a shout out. They did a real good job. They update folks' resumes. They had 138 job offers made last year, January 19th, 2019, and I guess there were over 500 people that came through. And the thing about it is that they prioritized companies and other organizations that were either offering training, scholarships, or jobs on the spot. And so a lot of the people come in to the resume station. Folks in Urban League do a real good job in getting equipment and personnel together, along with Christina Van Middlesworth and Rob and John Birchie and the folks. But so they could go around and get their resume updated on their iPhone, go around and shoot the resume right to employers right on the spot, and folks have been getting hired. Also getting a good input from Lisa Marks with Northwest Carpenters, too. And we've also... working closely now with the Washington State Labor Council, and I see that you're working with the folks as well, Bob, to make sure there's equity. So we appreciate your
Absolutely.
Efforts as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this jobs workshop has been a real positive overlay to what we've been doing with the Celebration Committee forever. Shout out to Eddie Rye for being one of the guiding lights and making sure that started happening. And it's been a positive thing for the community, and I'm glad we're continuing to do that.
Well, Bob, I tell you what, it's been a pleasure working with you over the years. I look forward to to continuing to do that. And I'm also happy to see that, you know, we have some brilliant young leadership. Kale, she started young, but, you know, Shadi Moore, about 30 years old, is the chair of the committee, and Kale is the vice chair. Now, Gene and I, we're in the gray beard club, the gray hair club anyway. Gene Buskin, yep. Fellowship of Reconciliation. And a lot of people don't know it, but the Fellowship of Reconciliation is a pacifist organization, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a member of the Fellowship of Reconciliation because of the fact he was an anti-war guy. And then we have a new treasurer, Kendra, now. Tana stepped back, but we'll have her on later because she's doing the youth program. So, Bob, thanks very much, man, and continue to keep up the advocacy for justice for the people.
You bet. Talk to you soon, Eddie. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, my next guest is Rolita Baptiste. And, Rolita, I messed up your title, but I know you're the Washington State Workforce, and you do an outstanding job with the Opportunity Fair. I was just talking to Bob Barnes about the Opportunity Fair, and he was giving the group a shout-out about the idea and the results that you guys are attaining. So, Rolita, why don't you just, first of all, for our listeners that don't know who you are, give us a little background about what you do every day on the day job, and then we'll transition to the Opportunity Fair.
Okay. Well, I work for a company called Pacific Associates, who partners with the WDC under the WorkSource umbrella. And WorkSource is an empty house where all these organizations come together and work to provide employment services and resources to people who are unable to find employment through no fault of their own, or if they are unemployed and have employment barriers. And my role is to connect these entities within the WorkSource system with employers who are seeking talent and training programs and opportunities to hire within the King County area.
And, you know, I got the wrong information on Facebook about I need you to send me Pacific and Associates. I thought I had the right information, but you work with WorkSource, not for WorkSource.
Yes. Well, actually, this is something that is a well-known secret because WorkSource is a brand. So no one gets a paycheck from WorkSource.
Gotcha.
Everyone who works for WorkSource works for another entity. For example, we have the GSHS. Employment Securities, Track Associates, Pacific Associates, Neighborhood House, United Way, the Y is the other one, who all work under the WorkSource umbrella to serve the community. And so they are each funded by their own organizations. Funders.
Okay. Now I get a clearer picture. So I must still have to have you text me your correct title and organization so I can make sure I correct that. I want to give people correct information instead of guessing about people's information. So now let's transition go ahead, Rolita, before we transition.
Well, technically, I think you have the right information because when we are working under the WorkSource umbrella, we all unite and claim WorkSource as the site in which we work.
Okay, great then. So I'm not that far off base. Okay,
no,
now let's go to the Opportunity Fair, which you have been doing an outstanding job, and just share with our listeners exactly what has transpired the last year or so and what we're going to be happening this year.
Okay, last year we had over 400 people who actually registered for the event. I would guess that it would be appropriate to say closer to 8,000 or 1,000 people actually attended. We weren't able to collect all of that data, but because there was so much movement going on. But at least 400 registered. There were 136 plus offers made at the event. There were 3 hires that I know of that were made on the spot as a result of the resume review room. And in addition to that, those individuals who were hired, many of them received internal training by the organization. So there was quite a bit of positive energy flowing throughout that event that day. So this year, we're hoping to do something a little bit different. We're going to move the review room out into the Career and Opportunity Fair area. So we will have a room on the side where people can come in and talk to consultants or professional consultants individually, privately, and also have their resume tweaked and printed after they speak with employers if they wish. Or they can come in and just talk to the professionals about their career opportunities, their learning opportunities, and what's out there in terms of training and OJT.
Okay. And how many companies and organizations showed up last year?
Last year there were over 55 plus.
And I know that at the last Martin Luther King meeting last Tuesday, John Bershey had mentioned that there's a need for, and Christina both mentioned there's going to be a need for 10 additional tables. So how many folks are we expecting this year? Because I think there was a waiting list or some people didn't respond immediately, and Christina's kind of wiped them off the list.
Well, I don't know if she wiped them off the list, but there,
for this
there
year.
Is a waiting. Excuse me?
I think she said we were booked for this year, right, in terms of companies?
Yes. The event is full. We have started a waiting list for employers who are interested in participating, and that is only because we don't have enough tables to accommodate all the companies that are interested, because each year this event has grown more than we had anticipated. So we're hoping that next year, those who are on the wait list for this year will have an opportunity to respond next year to the event, because we usually send the invites out to those who participated the previous year about a month or two prior to the actual event. So they have plenty of time to enroll. Part of the problem with the registration process is that the holiday comes in and people kind of get busy with that, and then the next thing you know, it's the Opportunity Fair Day. So there's that going on as well.
And that starts at 8:30 at Garfield.
Yes, from 8:30 to 11:30 at Garfield High School. And the resume review room is open from 8:30 to about 11:15 because people need time to complete their resume before they go on to the next event. And our event is over at 11:30, so just know that that's the case. There will be, I don't know if I stated this earlier, but there will be laptops and printers. Services available.
And that's courtesy of the Urban League, right?
That's right, courtesy
Seattle
of the Urban
League. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, the staff down there. Tobias, we want to thank you guys, because they have a heavy employment section. They'll be doing it all year round. And once we move into the building, hopefully the Urban League will be there providing those services off 22nd and Jackson as well. So, Rolita, I want to thank you so much for all that you do and helping the people, not only just on Opportunity Day, but every day on your JOB. So, thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you at the meeting on Tuesday.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. And have a good day.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Lewis Rudd, who has been supplying the chicken for the march since 1983.
Step up your commute and ride light. Sound Transit's new Capitol Hill and University of Washington Link Light Rail stations are now open. Get around town faster and more reliably than ever. Ride now from the University of Washington to Capitol Hill in just 4 minutes, or continue on to Westlake Station in just 8 minutes. Find lots of helpful information on how to ride, how to get an ORCA card, and more at ulink2016.org. Link Light Rail. More stations, more places.
Tell your friends about Alternative Talk 1150.
The event, the holiday, is on the 20th. We're talking about 11 days from now, and one of the key players in the movement has been Lewis Rudd from Ezell's Famous Chicken. And at the very first march, Ezell's came through with some legs. Because we did a lot. Matter of fact, we walked from Madison. And at that time, it was Martin Luther King Way, but the city had not put the signs up. And that was one of the reasons the first march was a protest. The city of Seattle not putting up the Martin Luther King signs. But folks had filed a lawsuit and had gone down through the court system all the way to the Washington State Supreme Court. So, but we from Madison to all the way to South Ryan, and that was a long trek, but it was worth it.
Long trek.
But Lewis has been with us every year, and he's doing some fantastic things. I guess you're one of our largest small black-owned businesses in the state right now. You have about how many shops you have now?
Well, we're up to 14 now, Eddie, and we're excited about next month opening up our first one outside the state of Washington, Oregon, in Tiger area outside Washington Square Mall. So for our 36th anniversary, we're going to celebrate the first one in Oregon opening up.
Well, that's great. Now, how far is that from Portland?
Like 10 minutes, 12
okay.
minutes.
Okay. Yeah, because it used to be a whole bunch of black folks in Albina, Northeast Portland, but they seem to be going to where the CD.
Gentrification happens, Eddie. I remember the first march, and the chicken and the CDs are quite a bit different from that time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And with the current occupant of the White House, it won't get any better for us, but we'll see about that, too. So a lot of things happen at the local level, and we have a lot of people that can make some things happen, but we can do a lot of things for ourselves. And, Lewis, you also do a lot of business and has been the supplier of food for the Seattle Seahawks for quite a few years too, right?
Yeah, in fact, we had chicken over to the camp on Tuesday. And once they win in Green Bay, we feed them again next week. And we're getting all excited about, maybe – having some chicken in Miami for the team. We had chicken in Detroit when they had the Super Bowl back there. We fed over 300 Seahawks fans, actually closer to 800.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I tell you,
the sports team.
Well, we'll see what happens this week. But I tell you one thing: I'm glad number 90 is back and playing well, the Clowney, because he really is.
Oh, yeah.
He's a difference maker. He really, really is.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, I just want to give a big shout-out to you, too, for all that you do for the community. And I still remember the time when they were not going to allow the rally at Garfield. And you got on Community Potpourri and got the mayor on the phone.
KRIZ. That's right.
KRIZ. Yeah. And say, I want you to know, Mr. Mayor, I got you live.
Well, hey, so, that's how we had to roll.
Yes, sir. And we got it done. And it's been happening every year since then. But no, a lot of people don't know what you do, have done, and continually do to make a difference in the African-American community. And now it's not just African-Americans benefiting from your works and your efforts. It's the diversity that I see now going from maybe 200-300 people that first march and legs that we provided to thousands and thousands of people that rally around, and each one of them gets to have a voice for their causes that they're out representing. And a lot of that, people don't know the sacrifices that you've made and the contributions that you've made in order for that to happen. So I just want to acknowledge that, Eddie.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Lewis. We have some, just mentioning that the new chair of the committee for the second year is Shadé Moore, who is about 29 or 30. And she is a senior manager at Amazon, has been doing an outstanding job. The chair of the program committee is Bobby Alexander, who was the co-chair of the committee 3 years ago, went off to Michigan State Law School. He's back. And we have K.L. Shannon, who's been out there forever as an activist since he was real young. And then we have Tanayasu, who we'll have on today. She's heading up the youth event. And I think she's already contacted Fed by getting some chickens. Her budget was just approved at the meeting Tuesday night because they have an event, a youth event that will be on Sunday at Langston Hughes from 12 to 5, and they're going to be having free food. So I know you'll be getting a call about that as well. So, Lewis, 14, why don't you just share with our listeners where the 14 stores are?
Well, Eddie, we have one over in Eastern Washington in Spokane. We've got a couple up north, one in Bothell on the Bothell-Everett Highway, Linwood, Wallingford, of course, the original across the street from Garfield High School, Renton Highlands, Fairwood. There's one in Rainier Valley on Genesee. Rainier and Genesee, Airport Plaza in Renton, Tacoma, Kent. So we're spread out a little bit.
And that's great. I mean, like I said, that's really doing some. You might be seeing that the colonel might be calling you in a minute, telling you to cut it out from KFC.
We've got a deal on the table now that may take us into a new market a little bit east of here, south and east. But that's some news that may be breaking soon. Mm-hmm. And, of course, too, we have the concession stands at the stadium at CenturyLink.
So what about T-Mobile Park?
And a couple of food trucks.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. We also got to talk to you about, Garfield turns 100 this year, and I'm on the Centennial Committee, and there are going to be food trucks on June 6th. That's going to be the actual celebration day, so I'll keep you in the loop with that. Matter of fact, I just talked to Bruce Harrell. The committee wanted him to MC a panel at noon on the 6th, and I reached him on his personal cell yesterday, and he was kicking back in Hawaii. But he's agreed to assume that task. So we're reaching out to all the dogs, all you dogs.
Right.
I want you to know that Garfield will be 100 years old on June 6, 2020. So we want to make sure. Quincy Jones is honorary chair. I think he graduated in 50 or 51, something like that. But we don't know if he'll be here or not. I think also Overton Berry graduated from Garfield as well. So, we got to. A long list of folks that graduated. Matter of fact, they didn't have much choice back in the day but to go to Garfield.
So
I was telling a lot of
but
people.
Definitely count us in, and anything we can do to support it. And Garfield definitely a huge, piece of the foundation, for Ezell's. Mm. And the first employees came from Garfield. The first customers came from Garfield. And we've had nothing but love and support from Garfield and the alumni and the staff and everybody associated. So we have lots of love and appreciation for the partnership and the relationship there.
Now, in order for you to serve Ezell's in 2 weeks, that means in Seattle, that means that Minnesota would have to beat San Francisco Saturday and Seattle would have to beat Green Bay on Sunday. And if that's the case, then Seattle would host Minnesota here.
Oh yeah,
I think we could beat either one of them. Cause see, the game should have been won last time. Once again on the 1 yard line. But anyway, I'm gonna leave that alone.
I'm gonna leave it alone.
But we can beat them boys. We can beat them. Okay. And I tell you, number 90 is a difference maker, brother. Clowney.
I'm telling you.
And
did he play really good now?
Did he play? He didn't play the last game against San Francisco, did he?
No, he was out.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because the first game he gave the San Francisco quarterback the blues. He gave him blues. Yeah. So, but anyway, Lewis, just out of curiosity for our listeners. How much, them Seahawks are pretty big, 6'6", 325. How much Ezell's chicken do they eat? How much do you take over there?
Well, they're on this special diet thing and all that. Eddie, we're not supposed to be talking about how much chicken
they
eat.
Oh, goodness, okay, let me be quiet then. let me be quiet because I don't want to get nobody in any kind of trouble. Might be violating their contract.
It's all about the protein. They just get enough protein in their diet so they can get out there and do what they need to do to get that victory.
Yeah, 7 wings, 4 legs.
Well, I can tell you about this one, though. Big Walter Jones, right?
Yeah.
Walter Jones liked to go to the store in Renton. He used to go in to Skyway before we moved it down to Renton Airport Plaza. He'll go in and get him an 8-piece, and he'll sit there and eat 4 pieces then, and he takes 4 pieces home to eat later. So we have this joke going now calling him 4 now, 4 later.
Well, as big as he is, I'll let you guys handle that one.
Yeah, 4 now, 4 later.
Okay.
That's my guy right there, Walter Jones, man. Big Walt. Yeah.
Okay, Lewis. Hey, man, thanks for everything, and thanks for sharing the history with our listeners about the very first march. I do want to say that that first march was to demand that the Congress make Dr. King's birthday a national holiday, and we also protesting the city not putting up the signs, the Martin Luther King signs. But what happened November 2nd, President Ronald Reagan designated the third Monday as a national holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. 4 weeks later, the Washington State Supreme Court ruled the city of Seattle had the authority to change the name of Empire Way to Martin Luther King Way. And the next day, I think that was on a Friday, that Monday was the 1st of December, I think, the first sign went up. So some more history, but thank you very much, Lewis, and talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah. All right, great. Take care, Eddie.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, my next guest is the person that's responsible for organizing the youth event that will happen on Sunday, the 19th, at Langston Hughes from 12 to 5. Her budget was just approved, and Lewis Rudd at Ezel said, Tana, he wants you to give him a call. But anyway, Tana, why don't you share with our listeners what's going to be happening? And Tana has been a stalwart member of the CLMLK Organizing Coalition and the CLMLK Holiday Celebration Committee. So how you doing, Tana?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm very excited about this event, as I always am, and love to see the youth get out here and get to express what Dr. King means to them and his dream and everything that has been happening in regards to this civil rights work that's never going to end. So we have the Seattle MLK Junior Organizing Coalition Young Leaders Kickoff Event, which is going to be Sunday, January 19th, at the historic Langston Hughes Performing Arts Institute in the Central Area. The address is 104 17th Avenue South, 98144 is the zip code if you need to put that in your map. You can always find more information on our website, which is seattlemlkjr.org. So, like I said, it's a kickoff event to the main event, which is the longest-running, largest event for Dr. King's birthday on the West Coast, and I'm always very proud to say that. And we're having a real party. This kickoff event is we're going to have a DJ. We got DJ Zach Zeta going to be there with some music in our DJ. We got young people that are going to be dancing and giving speeches and going to have a panel discussion. It's really just a great platform that we enjoy watching the young people present themselves. Rising Suns Drum Ensemble are going to come, and, you know, we like to always invoke the ancestors into the space. And our special guest that we're glad to have this year also will be former Martin Luther King Jr. County, sorry, Dr. Martin Luther King County Council member Larry Gossett is going to come and speak to the young folks, and I asked him if he would come because, of course, after his 25 years, we want him to come and talk to the young people to show them that, yes, you know, all these things happened 50 years ago, but 50 years ago, many of the people that you see now, they were you, and that it is in your hands, and you do need to pick up the torch, and it can be done. So we're excited to hear from him and him tell the story of, like you were saying, when King County was changed to Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King County. So he was a major part of that as well, you and so many of our leaders that I respect and appreciate so well. Then we have a young speaker, Christopher Veal, who's also going to do a speech. We have an opportunity fair this year we're excited to have incorporated to the event. So similar to the opportunity fair at Monday's event, we're having a youth opportunity fair for young people ages 15 to 25. Bank of America's Black Professionals Group, they're going to be there tabling, and young folks can actually even open up accounts, and they're going to do some workshops teaching about introductions to credit and financial safety and things of that nature that young people should start to pay attention to now. You know, it's never too soon for them to, you know, start being responsible for their financial future. Also, we have the Platinum Group and the Entrepreneurial Institute of Washington State are going to be doing workshops.
Daniel Seidel.
Yes. So they're going to do a couple workshops, revolving workshops, that they'll speak about entrepreneurship and this, you know, the tech, you know, how to get involved with technology and sustainable, all this great thing that these young people need to learn to get involved with now so they can start taking control of their future and make these plans. So we're excited about that because that's something we didn't have before. I'm trying to reach out to some breakdance groups.
Well, I can't help you. If I do a breakdance, I will break something.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah, that would be interesting. But also, there will be a historical digital display. Mr. Donald T. Mumford, he has so much paraphernalia from civil rights movement, that, and we left him to show video, display some movies, and has memorabilia merchandise. And I reached out to a virtual reality company, 6R. Hopefully I can have them set up there with some virtual reality experiences for the for everybody. Some people just still haven't even had a chance to experience that. And a drill team, a young ladies drill team from Tacoma. We're going to have food. Molly Moons actually is sponsoring us with ice cream. So shout out to Molly Moons for providing us with ice cream. We're obviously going to have some cake. And we're going to have a taco bar, and we're just building up the menu. So, yeah, it's going to be food and refreshments, fun, entertainment, education, edutainment, if you want to say. I'll speak into what I like to say was Dr. King's dream. You know, after he got us our civil rights, his next move was to work into the economic equality and justice. And so that's why it was important for me to be able to start instilling these things into these young people.
Tano, is there a website or a information source where people listening can go and get this information you just gave us?
Yes, yes. Please go to the website and or the Facebook group, which is SeattleMLKJr.org is the website. And then on Facebook, if you just put in Seattle MLK Organizing Coalition to take you to our page. There's also, and I'm always constantly updating the Facebook event with who's going to be there and what's going to happen. And I do need to give a shout out to our sponsors as well, which is the Historic Central Area Arts and Cultural District, which is in partnership with the Seattle Office of Arts and Culture, and Langston Hughes Performing Arts Institute, and powered by Shun Pike.
Okay, Tadayasu. We'll give you a shout-out again next week, and I know you're going to have a very successful event on the youth event on Sunday, January 19th, 12 to 5 at Langston Hughes. Thank you so much for all the work that you do. Talk to you
Thank
later.
You.
Okay.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, before we take this break, I want to let you know the Sound Transit Small Business Development and Labor Compliance Office, the City of Seattle's Purchase and Construction Services Office, the Port of Seattle, Concourse Concessions with David Fukuhara, SeaTac Bar Group, Rod O'Neill and Jerry Whitsett, and our technology is done by Stephanie Ogle, and me and Rice from the Port of Seattle Diversity Contracting Office will be our new sponsor, and we hope to have his commercial on by next week as well. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with Leanne Bannerman after this.
Step up your commute and ride light. Sound Transit's new Capitol Hill and University of Washington Link Light Rail stations are now open. Get around town faster and more reliably than ever. Ride now from the University of Washington to Capitol Hill in just 4 minutes, or continue on to Westlake Station in just 8 minutes. Find lots of helpful information on how to ride, how to get an ORCA card, and more at ulink2016.org. Link Light Rail. More stations, more places.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk 1150.
Eddie Ride back with Leanne Bannerman, who is the Director of Volunteer Engagement for the United Way of Martin Luther King Jr. County. And she's also a stalwart in the Seattle Martin Luther King Jr. Organizing Coalition. She's responsible for handling all the volunteers. And she has been very successful in her recruitment endeavors. So, Leanne, we'd just like to have you comment on what can people expect, the folks who volunteered, and just give our listeners some kind of idea of what the day, the morning will look like for you.
Yeah, so it will be hectic. That's organized chaos is what I like to approach. Just because we have so many, with all the different events, the job fair, workshops, and everything that's happening in the Garfield Building, plus what's happening in the gym and getting ready for the march. There's just a lot of moving pieces. So my morning will be starting extremely early and getting a team of volunteers set up to help check in the volunteers as the starting point, give them their T-shirts, and get them connected to the people that they'll be supporting. So in some cases, it will be helping set up the tables and getting the vendors all situated with the job fair. In some cases, it will be standing in the hallway with signs and directing people where they need to go, or or realizing that we missed a sign and there's some piece of information that would be better in a sign, so making a sign. So we'll have people doing just about everything. There's a whole group that will be in the kitchen from about 11:30 on, getting ready for the meal. So pretty much anything you can think of to do that's happening during the events. There's some volunteers and different volunteers within the coalition who are also helping to manage all of them.
And how many volunteers did you have last year?
Oh, geez. It was probably between 250, 300 volunteers all told. And we're probably going to have about that number this year. We're sort of at capacity, but my experience having done this a few years is there will be some last-minute cancellation. So if people are really wanting to volunteer, a good thing to do is to check the volunteer website. Actually, you should just go to the Seattle MLK Coalition website. That has a link to where you can sign up, and there may be some positions that open up, you know, a few days before. Hopefully not. Knock on wood. Mm-hmm. It makes things crazy, but that's part of the reality, is that sometimes things happen or teams can't recruit all the people they need for the slots that they're holding. So,
and the other thing too is that people have been asking me about the tables that are outside. Community groups are setting up this year. You know, Garfield turns 100 years old. This is their centennial year, and the event is going to be on the 6th. But they're getting information out, and they wanted a table out front, not inside of the where everybody else is. So I thought, I said, well, you know, we're having it at Garfield, and this is the centennial, so we got to do something special. Not just because I'm on the steering committee, that doesn't have anything to do with it, but I'm a Garfield graduate, and I know that, you know, we've been holding the event there, so I think it would be good to have that visibility for the centennial committee. And also, we're trying to also get a shout out for them on the rally as well. So, yeah. What we're looking at is that what time should volunteers be there on Monday, January 20th? What time should they report?
There are volunteers. It depends on what role people are volunteering in. So for the volunteers, they'll be showing up at different times, and I'm right back, literally right now, on my computer getting ready to send out the communications to them, telling them when to show up and connecting them to their lead. As far as the community tables, for people that want to do the community tables, we are asking people to you will need to bring your own table, or, you know, and if you need to sit, and it should be one of those square card tables so that
yes.
we can fit as many people as possible in. Arrive no earlier than 8 a.m. because it's going to be, as I said, organized chaos up until actually even at that time. But we're asking people to, there's a info desk at the very front. It's where the Garfield Bulldog sits at that front area. And to sign in, and then a volunteer will take you and help you get your table set up. We want to make sure people aren't just, you know, coming in and setting up. We want to get a sense of who's there. So so that's the other thing, is just, and that's first come, first serve. Once the hallway is full, unless you can convince another person who's tabling
to share
their space with you.
Mm, yep. That's not a bad idea, though. It's not really, I mean, you really want to get yourself out there. There's not room, and you have a friend, or you guys will have the same sorority or fraternity or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to do it, to be able to get everything out there. So we're hoping that works. Well, Leanne, you've been doing an outstanding job, and and you do it every day, so we know you're the best at it. So we really do really appreciate all the work that you do as well.
Yep, well, no problem.
And I'll see you Tuesday at our meeting at 6:30 at Langston Hughes this coming Tuesday. And we'll be meeting on Thursday, too, won't we?
Yeah, and also just a shout-out. We have a bunch of volunteers also on Sunday that will be going to the youth event, too. So,
great.
So that's another opportunity, and, you know, a little more flexibility since it's just one event. It's not a million things happening at once. So, you know, if there are people interested, you know, to go ahead and shoot an email to us, and we can see if we can accommodate you.
Okay, Leanne, thank you very much.
All right.
I'll see you
Thanks.
Tuesday.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Brian Cole from Cole Cleaning. The brother has all the equipment. He does carpets, upholstery. He can be reached at 206-721-7723. Brian Cole, Cole Cleaning. Also, on Saturday at noon, a Harmony video that will be broadcast over Facebook. One of our frequent guests and my producer, Jamie Elmore, has put this together, and it should be an outstanding a video for folks to check out on Saturday at 12 noon. Before we go back to Martin Luther King, I just want to say I want to thank the sponsors, Sound Transit Small Business Development Labor Compliance Office, the City of Seattle's Purchasing and Construction Services Office, the Port of Seattle's Diversity Contracting Office with Mia and Rice, Concourse Concession with David Fukuhara, SeaTac Bar Group, LLC, with the two Desert Storm veterans, Rod O'Neill and Jerry Whitsett, and Stephanie Ogle does our website. We'll be back with you next week, and check Larry Gossett's farewell message out on the front page of the Seattle Facts.